It has been a week, and it has been a hard week, hasn't it? And you know, one of the things that hit me hard this week was, of course, the Umpqua Community College shootings in Oregon. And you know, what I didn't realize until a few days later was how much more mildly I reacted in the year 2015 than I did in the year 1999 at the Columbine shooting. This time around, I was like, oh, another shooting. Oh. Whereas in 1999, remember, you were like, do I dare send my children out again? And this sad getting used to it really hit me. Not right away. And then there's the Israel not allowing Palestinians into Old Jerusalem. There's the Russian increasing involvement or miscommunications or communications going on in the Middle East, and the ISIS threat, and so much going on. I don't know if you've felt heavy like I have. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, that's all happening, and I'm preaching on God's faithfulness. That's the theme as we're walking through the New Testament. If you've never read the Bible, join us. We just are in 1 Timothy, and we'll be reading one chapter a day to get to the end of the year. And we'll finish with the last chapter of Revelation. But then I got to thinking about the basic premise of the Christian worldview, that we are all made in the image of God. We are all made in the image of God. Every single human being. The problem is, the image was damaged. The image was distorted by sin. And we now are in these layers of sin. And into this, God sent Jesus on a mission to restore God's image, the full image of God that we had lost because of sin. Do we need laws? Yes, we need laws. Do we need to keep honing them? Yes, we need to keep honing them. But is there also a spiritual component to all that is happening on our planet, our little blue marble on black velvet? Yes. And if we just try to put laws in place without trying to fix the problem that is in our hearts, the sin problem, it'd be like putting lipstick on a pig. So let's examine God's faithfulness in the midst of this. Would you bow your heads with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. We have a message as God followers, as Christ followers, for the world. And I want to get at it this way. For the last 11 years, Lee and I and Hunter and Jillian and Graham and Joy have hosted children from other countries who come up here for life-threatening surgeries. Some of them live with us for 3 months. Some of them live with us for 5 months. We pick them up in baggage claim at Detroit Metro Airport. Lesty's now in college, and we're helping her get through college down in Honduras. And thanks to Facebook, I now have about 100 friends from Honduras. And it's kind of cool. It's been very funny as we've had to figure out different styles of hair and how you take care of the children and help them with their hair, with the language issues have become hilarious, with what you do when you get calls all day and night from people in Guyana because they get your phone number and they're like, I have a brother in Niagara. Do you know my brother? That was one of them. I was like, oh. I didn't really have a good answer, but I didn't know his brother. And you know, it's been my favorite thing that we've done as a family. But it hasn't always been easy. Possibly the worst situation happened was a little boy from an orphanage. All of these kids have parents, and this little boy was in the process of being adopted, 1 year old from El Salvador, and his name, Francisco. And he was 1 year old, and he was so cute, and he was what medical professionals call a blue baby, because his heart wasn't able to get enough oxygen to his body, so his skin tone was a little bit blue. Well, Lee was at the hospital the day of the surgery. He had been with us 8 days. And I was checking in from home. And we could only do this because we are part of the best church family in the world who supports us with food and with meals so that Lee is able to go and be at the hospital sometimes for up to a week with these children at Mott, with the amazing doctors and nurses and medical professionals there. And you guys help support me and the kids at home while I do my best to hold things together. So Lee was at the hospital. I was at home. It was a Friday. And the surgery went very well, but they could not get him stabilized. And his heart would get in trouble, and so they would give, drain the fluids because it was building up. And I was checking in all day long for about 15 hours. The medical team was having a hard time getting him stabilized, and they worked all night, but he just wasn't strong enough, and he died. It was horrible going to bed that night, thinking about what I would have to tell the kids the next morning. Thinking I would have this news that was going to rock their worlds. It was so bizarre waking up knowing I had information, and just the information itself, no matter how I gave it to them, was going to change their lives, rock their worlds. Lee and I planned for us to sit down with them and to tell them, but I'll never forget that night. It was surreal thinking, as soon as this night is over, I've got to get with the kids, and words are going to come out of my mouth, and I've got this message I'm going to deliver to these four specific people, and it's just going to change their world. Words would come out of my mouth, and I knew that their lives, their perspectives, and what they thought was possible in the world would be greatly changed. For our kids, this information, that bad news, facing the death of a baby in our care, was all new for all of us. The good news is God brought us through that. God was faithful. God drew us together. God began to heal our hearts. And after a breather, we were able to start hosting more children again. I know many of you have had news that you've needed to share that has rocked a loved one's world. That's the flip side. You know, as we often hear in church, in the midst of all of the news, and what was going on when Paul wrote to Timothy in the first century was perhaps every bit as barbaric, we're coming to find out, as what's going on in the 21st century. Wouldn't you think we'd have outgrown some of it? So much for progress. We have a message that is even more powerful than bad news. And when that message is delivered with clarity, and when that message connects with an individual heart, that message has the potential to equally or in a greater way rock a person's world or impact a person's life. It is so powerful that when that person gets it, when it dawns on us, there's this aha moment. And you say, oh, that's what it's about. Oh, that's what's going on. Oh, that's how life is supposed to work. Oh, that's why it seems like the connections were not being made for me. Oh, that's how God sees me. And when that happens, you don't stay the same. From that moment on, everything in the future looks completely different. And when the news begins to sink in, it begins to change us from the inside out. And we see the whole world as different. We see relationships differently. We see life and death differently. We see family differently, and you begin to see everything differently. It's the weirdest, coolest thing. Like telling my kids, everything changes, not because I tell them to change, but because of the message I give. The message alone will change whole lives. This message alone will change your whole life. The message is deep at the heart and the core, I believe, of what's happening in the world. And that message is deep in the heart and the core of Christianity, of what it means to be a Christ follower. And when an individual gets it, when it transfers from God's mind to the human mind, to the human heart, instantly there is this, oh. And sometimes that oh lasts a long time. But everything changes. And church, it's why we exist, why we have existed for 183 and a half years. We have to be the oldest institution in Dexter, even older than the A&W. It's why we do this and what we exist for year after year after year. It's why we spend the money we spend. It's why we create opportunities for people to connect, not just in worship, but in home groups and in Bible studies. It's why we recruit volunteers. It's why we walk the crop walk and why we give money to the crop walk. It's why we build buildings and parking lots and why we want to grow, why we want to send people out, because we want to intersect lives with this message. It's why we're inviting the whole town to our Fall Fest this year. Last year we had 650 people. I'm a little nervous, but I think we can attempt this God-sized thing because people need to hear this message, and it would be a great first step for them to be welcomed and warm and made to feel like, wow, this is a place for me that I could be. Parents, it's why you fight. And grandparents, it's why you fight to get your kids to their Sunday school classes, to youth group, to worship. Because when an individual gets it for the first time, it's the information itself, the truth, literally changes people's lives. It's the reason why the Bible is the first book banned in dictatorships and totalitarian governments. Here's the deal. It's for everybody in any situation, in any culture, in any language, in any political persuasion. It's for anybody who has a moment in time when this amazing truth locks into your heart. And when that happens, your paradigm shifts, your worldview, your life, your relationships change, and everything's different. Many of us can say, I remember the day it was clear to me when God's faithfulness was no longer a category or a song. It's the difference between John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, to becoming, for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. My dating relationships look different. The way I view morality looks different. My entertainment shifts. My plans, my goals become different. The way I view parenting looks different. What I spend my money on looks different. Where I go, how I see others, all different because of the content, the truth in this message. And I remember how I grew as I learned the message, as I internalized it and gave myself to it. And it was simple. The Apostle Paul says it very clearly in his first letter to Timothy, chapter 2. First, he's telling Timothy to pray for everybody, and then he says this, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and people, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people, the testimony given in its proper time." Stop right there. God, our Savior, wants all to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants all people. God wants every individual, the good ones and the bad ones. And part of the reason I think things happen like Oregon is because in school, the good kids only talk to the other good kids. Jesus has to come along and tell us we need to talk to everybody. We have got to stop it somewhere, and I think it's in our hearts. Every individual, God wants all people. Every nation, God wants all people. All to be saved, all to know him. God is not neutral. This is news to some people who have been looked over, who've been forgotten, who've been told off, even by the Christians. It's not just the good people. God wants everybody to be saved in his faithfulness. God's ultimate desire, his truth, is he wants you and he wants everybody else to be free, to be saved, and to know the truth. This truth is that there's God, there's only one, and one priest, one mediator between God and humanity, between God and us, Jesus, who offered himself in exchange for everyone held captive by sin to set them all free. Let's face it, sometimes we need a mediator. A lot of times we need a mediator. We were captured by sin ourselves. We were captured by at least a self-focus. You might be like, well, I've never robbed a bank. I've never shot anybody. But what we're seeing in the world is only a few steps beyond where we are. A few choices, a few decisions beyond where we are. The Greek word that Paul uses is bought for freedom, ransom. Like a slave bought out of bondage. We have been ransomed. And get this, the ransom itself is Christ Jesus, God's own Son. We were far from God and in need of a mediator. God provided Christ Jesus to make this connection. And when you allow him in, there is no distance anymore between you and God. You've been made right by this truth. Your salvation has nothing to do with your ability. Some of us long-timers forget that. We know up on the cross, we follow that path. But then we try to create this path down from the cross that says, see, here's why I'm so glad you saved me. Here's why you should be glad you saved me, because look at all these things I can do for you. That hidden path is not there. We invent it ourselves because we can't believe God in his faithfulness, God in his love, would have sent a ransom like he did for us. It's that simple. That's why we're here. You've been made right by this truth, and it's big news to all who believe. What does it feel like to be made right with God? It's like a relationship with a great friend. In our church, we have to remind one another, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's not about what we do to earn anything. It's about God's faithfulness in offering a relationship, a faithful relationship with a great friend. When you feel free with someone, there's no junk, there's no weirdness. You can actually call him and talk to him. You don't just have to text him. Have you noticed how reluctant we are now to make voice calls to people? We just text all the time. With God, we can always just talk. You're not perfect in a friendship like this. You're not perfect, and you both say we're fine because God's taken care of it in his faithfulness. And Paul says that we have that now because of God's faithfulness. You can face God because you've been made free. I don't have to dodge him. I don't have to be evasive. Why? Because God, our Savior, wants all to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. And it all comes from God, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. That's the message. You've heard it. And remember, it's for all people. But God, who doesn't force himself on us, wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. Those happen at the same time. People need to hear the truth. People need to be freed, to be saved, to be redeemed, to be bought, to be to know how valuable and loved they are. That's why we're going to continue here with all our heart and all our power. It's why so many people here give their time and even their finances to keep creating an environment for this to happen. From young kids in the nursery, it's not just babysitting anymore at this church. They get Bible stories, they get songs. To older folks who might feel forgotten by much of the rest of the world, but never by God. So other people can have that aha moment and realize how loved they are, ransomed and free in Christ, so their lives can be changed and made free. You know, in light of the Oregon tragedy, I can't help but think anytime something like this happens, how many touches could it have taken to intervene in a shooting? Who was trying to reach out to that young man? We don't want anybody to spend another night facing their life, wondering where they stand with God. When you have this aha moment, when you get it, you know what happens? Things in the rest of your life are going to change. Why? Because forgiven people have a much easier time forgiving people, even in the midst of betrayals. Loved people have a lot easier time loving, even the very difficult people. Accepted people have a whole lot easier time accepting others. And we can become humble and courageous and confident and faithful in our marriages, in our jobs, in a school, in our parenting, in our reactions, like we talked about. It's about today. It's about how I live. It's about all my relationships faithful. And there's good news to share in the morning, every morning, even in the midst of bad news. Why wouldn't we want everybody to know that? Imagine the change in everybody's lives. It's not just a corporate message. It's a personal message. It is for you. It's not about you, but because of God's faithfulness, it is about you and because it's for you. But it's not about you just to keep it to yourself. It's about you to become like a channel, a funnel, a means of reaching others. It's a personal message. It is for you. His truth sets you free, and you become a part of the family of God. It changes everything when you hear news that big. There's good news to share in the morning. We're going to move into a time of communion. And if there's never been a moment where you've transferred your trust based on what God has done, based on the simple truth, not emotions, I'm not talking about any of that, I invite today's communion to be your response to that truth. The life-changing message of the gospel is you don't have to pay for your sins. You don't have to pay for your past. They've been paid for. You've been ransomed by God, the Savior. You can only receive it, the free gift of salvation for all people. But I got to warn you, it's going to change your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I believe that. I believe I've fallen short in a world falling short. I believe that Jesus is the Savior. That he's not just a Savior or the Savior, but that he's even my Savior. And he died for my sins. So Lord, today I'm no longer going to think it's about me or my past, but it's all about you. God, you are my Savior. You're my Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank you for giving us freedom that comes from you. Lord, help me, help each person here at this service, help our entire church bear this good news that you want all to come to you. It's in the name of Christ Jesus, our mediator, our ransom, that we pray all of our prayers. Amen.